Music and talk radio about all things, all genders. This is Intravenous, live on CJSF 90.1 FM, discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through a feminist lens. Our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemon.
This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby Community Radio from Simon Fraser University.
Burnaby is located on the stolen and unceded homelands of the Halkomelem and Squamish-speaking peoples. Welcome, everyone, to Intravenous. I am Stella.
I'm Logan.
And I'm Robin.
Yeah, familiar voice, but me and Logan are both Canada Summer Jobs students, so I'm the programming assistant at the station.
And I'm the community outreach and promotions assistant.
Mm-hmm. And today we are going to start off with a song before we get into talking about the nuclear family. So,
yeah, we can start off with Finger Pies by Annika. I've been listening to this song for a few weeks now. I hope you guys like it.
Some may say that you are only interested in one thing, and that's to get your own way. That's to get your own way. Some may
Welcome back. This is Intravenous on CJSF 90.1 FM. Today we are going to be having a bit of a discussion on the nuclear family. And for those of you just tuning in, once again, my name is Stella.
I'm Logan.
I'm Robin.
And I think Logan was gonna start us off.
Yeah, today. I just wanted to give a little context of why we're talking about the nuclear family today. We started brainstorming, you know, what do we want to discuss? And I was reading a bit of Silvia Federici, a bit of Alexander Kollontai, and I was really interested in how they understood the family in terms of a bourgeois society, in terms of a capitalist society, especially looking at how, you know, we just had Pride, how this whole idea of a very heteronormative nuclear family is kind of being challenged in certain ways and also being reproduced in certain ways. So I kind of just wanted to have a discussion about, you know, in what ways does the family structure that we have in a lot of Western societies today kind of sustain capitalism, you could say, and sustain the structures that exploit us and oppress us, and how can we find forms of resistance within the family? How do you guys understand the nuclear family, or just the family in general? I was wondering, just to start us off.
I mean, when I think about those two words specifically together, nuclear family, it's very, you know, there's a dad and there's a mom and there's however many kids, 2.5 in Canada, and there's a white picket fence and maybe a dog named Spot, and it's very, like, there's very rigid lines around what that means and what that definition is. Generally, it's suburban. Generally, they're white presenting. You know, there's a very sort of typical look and flavor to the family. Mm-hmm. When I think about the term nuclear family. And it's my family, you know, like I grew up in that family. I don't have half a sibling, but I have one other sibling, so there's two of us, we're close. And we had a dog.
Decapitation is part of the whole,
you know. So, yeah. Stella?
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Robin, just adding on a little bit more with those kind of rigid rules. There are the gender roles, obviously, that come into play, which help sustain the nuclear family, with the man being the breadwinner and then the woman being the housewife and dividing the labor in that way. And yeah, as well, I grew up in a nuclear family, hadn't really questioned it for a lot of my life, but it is definitely a structure that should be put into question a bit more. And why is this the only way that we kind of present or look at family?
Yeah, especially when, like, this whole idea of the nuclear family as we know it is no longer necessarily feasible, with, like, when you look at how globalization has really impacted the kind of wages that can be, you know, gotten by working people. Like, this whole nuclear family idea relied on, you know, the husband, the father is the sole breadwinner. And so in that sense, like, you know, post-World War II, the wife, the mother, she stays at home and she takes care of the children because the man can go and earn for four people or four and a half. It's crazy to think about that used to be a reality. And now when you look at how, you know, corporations have left a lot of Western countries, you know, factory work is now taking place in a lot of the global South because, of course, like, with different environmental restrictions because of the lower wages and, of course, what do corporations want but just more profit, as all capitalist you know, systems seek. So then when you, when you're faced with this kind of like globalization, redistribution of wages in like the entire world, then you see how the man can no longer be the sole breadwinner. There's like, the wages don't make sense anymore within this like nuclear family setup. And so now we see a lot of women going into the workforce, and yet there's still this big push of, you know, traditional family values, and she should still be in charge of upkeeping with, you know, the kids and the house and the whole domestic sphere. So it's not really that there's some sort of redistribution. It's just she has another job on top of the base job.
I think it's also a very Western idea of things, too, right? Like, you know, there's so many cultures where the intergenerational family structures live within one big household. And, you know, here in the West, that's, if you have to live with your, with your in-laws, that's sort of looked at as a, as a terrible thing, right? I mean, it might be looked at as a terrible thing in other cultures too, because it's not easy. I've lived with my mother-in-law.
I invited her on to listen, by the way. Hi. I'm so glad you could make it.
She's but you know, like, it's challenging, you know, like the more people you're living with, and the more dynamics, interpersonal dynamics you're working through, everything becomes more complicated. Mm-hmm. But the reality for a lot of people in a lot of places in the world is that you can't just have a house with four or even six or eight people who are your immediate family living in it, and so it's a very particular the nuclear family is a very particular look at what family is. And I think now that, as you said, Logan, you know, we're seeing a lot more we're seeing a lot more ideas from the global village filter into our world, you know. And as we see immigration and newcomers and different ways of living and people challenging gender stereotypes, and all of this stuff is starting to make us question more about what can family be and what is it supposed to quote unquote look like, and when it doesn't look like that, how is the theory around family and family studies and family structure then needing to be challenged?
Yeah,
you know.
And when you talk about this, what comes to mind is you talk about how there's this kind of sort of shame attached to living with your in-laws, and I wonder, or living with an extended family within the West, and I wonder how much that has to do with this sort of emphasis on individualism that's so present within, you know, within capitalism. Like, that is the ideological basis of capitalism. Mm-hmm. So how much does this sort of individualism bleed into the family, in the sense of, I am no longer as much of an individual. I haven't, like, created my own family, quote unquote. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This whole idea of you have to stray and assert yourself as an individual, and therefore you've, like, earned the right to exist under capitalism. And it also brought to mind, what was I thinking? Oh, yeah, I was thinking, we know, when we talk about straying away from traditional family structures, and then thinking back to how does, like, the state structures and the economic structure reinforce the family. And even though a lot of different ideas are changing around heteronormativity, you know, there's more exploration into different gender expressions, into different sexualities, into, you know, more acceptance, one could say, in certain places, then how does this couple with this, like, in so many different ways the family is reinforced? Like, when you look at how, for example, with borders, how you can kind of surpass these border lines if you marry in and you can get a passport, or there's tax breaks, or there's just so many social benefits to marriage and to constructing a family and to continuing within this structure. Like, so many benefits given by the state. And then also, you can wonder, why are those benefits there? Why is the state kind of pushing this structure? And at least for me, like, the first thing that kind of comes up is, like, this whole idea of, you know, the legitimization of this domestic labor done by the woman. That when we see, like, social welfare has really been declining a lot, you know, we see, like, with neoliberalism, the state is pushing more of its responsibility out towards the market or out towards the family, how they kind of go back onto reliance on the family to obfuscate that, you know, taking away of responsibility. And so it's still, instead of being like, oh, we'll take care of childcare, oh, let's think about, you know, how homelessness is a huge issue, let's think about elder care, instead it's pushed back onto the family, and thus it's pushed back onto the woman, because the woman is supposed to be the domestic family head, if that makes sense.
True. Mm. And not true.
Interesting. Okay, yeah.
One of the articles that I was reading in sort of, you know, prep and to get my mind thinking about family and family values and family structure, family theory. There's a lot that has been written, and there's a lot that's being, you know, sort of revisioned because we're understanding a lot more about the family. And I'm just going to read this because I can't say it any better. Elaine Tyler May provides examples of how this family structure affects people differently. It is also clear that family values, quote unquote, is a term used as a code marker of race and class. For example, poor Black single mothers and educated white professional women are both likely to be blamed for society's ills as a result of their alleged defiance of family values. Presumably, a mother on welfare who goes out and gets a job demonstrates good family values. One who stays home with her kids does not. Yet an educated middle-class woman who goes out and gets a job demonstrates bad family values. One who stays home with her kids does not. The rules change according to racial and class positions as well as marital status. Mm. And so it's really, you know, there's this determinism almost based on what your status is in society about, you know, what is looked upon as you fulfilling these supposed family values, which are, you know, when you break down things into their parts and they don't actually add up, you can see how, you know, the pyramid structure is just like a Ponzi scheme kind of a thing, you know? And
how,
I,
how do you mean?
Like, it's all just smoke and mirrors, you know? Like, there's something that we're kind of sold up the river about what it means to be this nuclear family, and that it's, yeah, you know, what these family values are. But, you know, depending on who you are, then the rules change in terms mm-hmm. of what you need to do or how you need to approach the things that you're choosing or not choosing in order to fit within what is, you know, considered this sort of legal rubric and, mm-hmm. you know, this acceptable behavior model.
Yeah, I think that's interesting, this idea of having certain family values. And I think achieving these family values for so many people is becoming more and more and more difficult or even impossible with keeping the structure of the family balanced. like, for example, so many more women are having to work, and yeah, like you said, like working middle class woman is going to be seen as not having like the greatest family values, but there's so many women out there in this current kind of economic and yeah, this economic situation that we have, there women are having to go out and work even more. So when we look at the people who are actually even achieving these certain family values, they are the ones that are the rich, white, upper class for sure. And yeah, I just think it's interesting how it's just getting less and less achievable to maintain this idea of family values.
Yeah, no, definitely. Stella and I were talking about how, like, just expanding on what Stella was saying. Like, with the rich, they can have a lot of kids. They can, the women could stay at home because they have just so much wealth. They don't need to be working. They don't need to think about how they're going to deal with childcare with six children, because they can just have live and help. They can just have people cleaning their homes. And like that kind of idea is really interesting, because this whole ideal of family is just goes back to, you know, bourgeois ideals. Mm-hmm. And then looking back as well at like what you were saying, Robin, about this whole category, like you said classification, is that what you said? Yeah, it's interesting to think, like, how does your, you know, category that was like externally placed upon you and socially produced by, you know, this economic system, by this like white supremacist hetero patriarchal system, how does that relate to family? So then when you think about, you know, a poor black single mother, they're in a very specific economic role that they're supposed to fulfill, and that is completely different than a white woman. And so when you kind of deviate from that, you are, you know, going against the quote-unquote morality of society. And then it's really interesting to think about how like morality itself is just this figmentation, is just this kind of like illusion to keep people in check and to keep people within the bounds of like societal norms. And these norms are created by, you know, the societal economic structures, if that makes sense. Like, don't deviate.
But these things are enshrined in law, right? Like,
exactly, that reflects the economic, yeah.
And so it's they're sort of trumped up principles, and you know, like, morality is this sort of ethereal notion about things, but the morality of what the nuclear family is and represents, and what those family values that are tied to what that nuclear family is, they're enshrined in law.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, yeah. And so we live those, and when we do deviate from that, right, there are legal penalties that interfere with our ability to be autonomous and make choices that are true for us as individuals, not falling into, you know, just sort of towing the party line kind of a thing. I think we should pause and take a song break. We're getting so heady here about the nuclear family. It's great. It's fascinating. But we're going to come back and jump back into it. So don't go away.
Don't leave yet, guys. The next song that you're going to hear is Yanomanda by Mel Muniz, who is a singer and songwriter from Argentina. And this whole album, she released a new album, is really quite enjoyable. So
Yanomanda. Tirana se va. A esa tirana yo le voy a dar catarro.
Welcome back. This is CJSF 90.1 FM, and you're tuning in to Intravenous. My name is Stella.
I'm Logan.
And I'm Robin.
And yeah, that was Ya No Manda by Mel Muniz, and we just played that as a little interlude to our discussion on nuclear family. We were getting into it. We were getting into the morality of family and everything like that. So guys, where should we pick up where we left off or take a new route? I know Robin had something that we were talking about right before this.
We'd been talking about the ways in which race and class determine how family is judged and what those roles within a family can be, and how the idea of nuclear family and family values is it, and the sort of morality of that is kind of enshrined in law, right? And one of the things that in the material that I was reading in prep for the show today, there was an essay. It's by Kara Polt, written in 2020, called "The Foundations of the Family Through an Intersectional Lens." But they quote this theorist, Patricia Hill Collins, who explains the construction of the American family through race, ethnicity, and gender. And in her work, Like One of the Family, Race, Ethnicity, and Paradox of the U.S. National Identity, she outlines that an important aspect to the American family is the home. And I think we could all agree about that. Like, we think about the nuclear family, and it's like, oh, and they have a home, and, you know, they have a yard and a little picket fence, and, you know, two cars.